All right, Alexander, we have a development on the Ghislaine Maxwell front, and it looks like the trial has been postponed until autumn, and it comes at her requests, as well as the fact that we have these new charges, which are seem to be delaying things, as well as the excuse of the you know what, the COV thing. So a lot of things are working towards delaying the trial, which was scheduled in the summer. Now it looks like we're heading towards autumn. What's the news here?
Well, I think the first thing to say is that this is actually this announcement of the delay, the postponement till September, is actually a failure for Ghislaine's legal team. I mean, they were asking for a postponement till November and possibly January, and there was even talk that the trial actually might start in March next year. Well, the judge Nathan was having none of that. He did grant an adjournment, but it's only until September. So this is actually a pretty short adjournment. Now, what has been happening is that the prosecution are now piling on more and more charges against Ghislaine. They've been bringing in charges of sex trafficking and all sorts of things of that kind. And she's recently been landed with a big new indictment. And her argument, well, she first of all made an argument that the charges should be thrown out. She said that the charges should not be brought because they were already covered by that agreement that Epstein made when he was still alive with, if you remember, that prosecutor, I think his name was Acosta, way back years ago, and that whereby he Epstein pleaded guilty to one offence, but all the big ones, all the other important ones were dropped. So Maxwell said that Ghislaine Maxwell said that she should be granted the benefit of that deal, that agreement that that Epstein had made with the prosecutors all those years ago. Well, Judge Nathan would have none of that. He threw that idea out entirely. Then they said that they need, you know, the case, the all these trafficking charges should be thrown out anyway because of all kinds of other procedural flaws. And again, Judge Nathan said no. And then, of course, they came round and they said, we want this adjournment until, well, possibly November, better still January, better still March, in order to, you know, prepare our defence. And Judge Nathan has said basically no to that. A third time. He's given her until September, not a very long adjournment, and I think she will probably be very disappointed by this outcome.
Okay, so can you get into some of the charges, the new charges?
Yeah, I mean, essentially, rather than go into the detail, can I just say it's exactly what we have been assuming or hearing about Ghislaine and her activities for a very long time. I mean, the fact that she was acting as a procuress for Epstein, finding him girls, grooming them, preparing them for him. Some of these charges relate specifically to three girls, but I've no doubt that you know this is just a start, and there may well be others. But the point is, I'm assuming that those three girls have come forward and have given witness evidence. So bear in mind, it all started with testimony from Virginia Giuffre, and now it's expanded, and other victims are coming forward and they're giving evidence too. So it's beginning to look very difficult. I mean, it's always looked incredibly difficult to me. I mean, I can't really see where the defense is. I mean, she's probably going to argue. I mean, I think one of her arguments is going to be that she didn't realize what was going on. At the same time, there's a kind of contradictory argument that she was intimidated and abused by Epstein and was really controlled by him. Now, you think about it, these two defenses aren't really consistent because if the abuse defense is valid, if that's the defense she intends to run, then the defense that she was not really involved and had no participation in this also really it fails too. They contradict each other. So I think what she really needs to do if she needs to use this time between now and September, which isn't very long, to think very hard about her strategy. And I've said all along that given the build-up of evidence against her, what she needs to do is to do what she has always resisted doing, which is to accept the fact that she's going to lose this case. I find it very difficult to see how there can be a different outcome, and try to do a deal with the prosecution, which would expose more fully all the things that Epstein and she were up to, and perhaps identify the many other people who were involved. That, it seems to me, is her only way to stay out of prison for the rest of her life, or at least to get some kind of more lenient sentence than she might otherwise do. I mean, she will get a very tough sentence anyway, but the way she's going at the moment, it seems to me that the only outcome will be a very, you know, an indefinite sentence, and that she'll be going to prison for the rest of her life. I mean, it could be that she's still gambling on an appeal. I will say this, business of the prosecution piling on charges right up to the trial date is one that I personally would have concerns about. But that is the nature of this case. It's the sort of case where more evidence is probably being collected all the time. So I think she's in a difficult position. I think she needs to start thinking realistically and making realistic decisions about what the future for her is. Whether she's going to do that, whether she might be too frightened to do that, we shall see.
Yeah, well, her case is, her lawyers are still pleading in her case, not guilty. That's the line that she's taking.
Absolutely.
And that's probably the smart decision to make, because if she was to give up all the people that, you know, she may actually give up, I mean, she would be doomed. I mean, the people that she would give up would, I mean, I don't think she would last 10 seconds in the highest of security prisons multiplied by 1,000. So, I mean, I think maybe her only gamble is to try and maybe turn that 1% chance of a not guilty plea into reality. I mean, I don't know.
There we go. Because, of course, what I've said is, I mean, the smart thing to do from a legal point of view is to do a deal. From if you're playing legal chess, this is a checkmate position, or so it looks to me. But of course, if you are worried about other things, if you're worried about following Epstein to the other place, well, then of course you might be taking a completely different set of calculations. You might be saying, well, let's observe the code of silence, and that way at least we can eke out our lives, even if we do that in prison. And perhaps, who knows, there might be a chance that we might come out ahead, not perhaps as a result of this trial that's coming, with a clearly unsympathetic judge and an almost certainly unsympathetic jury, but possibly on appeal, when she might try to argue some of these procedural faults and weaknesses that she's been bringing up to now, or her lawyers have been bringing up to now. So that may be her strategy. But as I said, from a legal point of view, from the point of view of legal tactics, this is a frankly reckless approach. From a view of perhaps a more holistic view, taking into account the wider realities, I mean, realities expand and extend beyond courtrooms, well, maybe there are other reasons why she's acting the way she is.
Well, her lawyers would be made aware of those realities, wouldn't they? I mean, if she were to plead guilty, then obviously people would understand that she's going to give up names. And some of those names are, or not some of them, I would say most of them are the most powerful people in the world, people who are in charge of, you know, billion-dollar foundations, people who may have gotten recently divorced. I don't know, you know, big names, really big names, former politicians, presidents, business people. I mean, we're talking the elite of the elite. So princes, I mean, if she was going to give up those names, if she was going to plead guilty, then, you know, that everyone would know that she's going to talk. And okay, she wouldn't survive. Now, if she loses the case, she goes to prison, and maybe she survives, maybe she doesn't. I still don't give her very good odds either, but okay. But if her lawyers who are consulting with her and they understand all of this, I guess they would have to come to the same conclusion and say, look, there is literally no way out for you, Ghislaine. So we might as well try to win the trial, maybe win that trial and somehow, you know, get out of this mess. But I mean, it's such a bad decision. I mean, my point is the lawyers know all of this. There is no way out for her, yeah, other than that Hail Mary pass of getting a not guilty verdict. I don't know.
To answer a few points here, I don't think the lawyers need to advise Ghislaine about this sort of thing. Ghislaine knows all of these people, and I'm sure that she's thought through all of these things by herself.
I'm saying the lawyers, they know the names lawyers of the people, don't they?
Absolutely.
The lawyers have been briefed.
Absolutely, of course they do. But I would say that for professional reasons, I doubt that the lawyers would give that advice, because, and besides which, they don't need to give that advice that clearly. They will simply say to Ghislaine, and this is, I'm sure, what they're saying, Ghislaine, this is an incredibly difficult case. We can't predict that there will be any good outcome for you if this case goes to trial, or even if indeed it goes to appeal. Obviously, you may have your own reasons for nonetheless proceeding in the way that you do, but that is our advice. I think if the lawyers were to tell her, you know, if you plead guilty, then you're risk being dead. Well, I think that is, as I said, that would be impossible advice to justify on professional grounds. And I don't think lawyers, or at least proper lawyers, would do that. The kind of lawyers that the mafia perhaps instructs from time to time might give that kind of advice to their clients. But I don't know whether Ghislaine's lawyers are like that. And I doubt that they are, actually. So I don't think she needs that advice. I think she's perfectly well aware of whatever risks she's running. I mean, she's certainly intelligent and wise to all of these concerns. And I'm sure she's making her own decisions on the basis of whatever legal advice she's getting and on the basis of what she already knows. But you're absolutely right in terms of the dangers to her. I am sure she's very well aware of them, and I'm sure her lawyers know exactly who is implicated in the case. And I'm sure, of course, she does too.
No, I don't see any way out of it for her. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it's not, because it would be interesting to understand a little bit more as to the people involved in this circle. Yeah. But to me, it just sounds like if she were to plead guilty, it's like signing her death certificate. Like, literally, just I'm done.
Well, then let me say something. This isn't advice, because obviously I'm not in a position to give advice, and frankly, I'm not actually giving advice. I'm just saying this, that if there are these considerations, then perhaps nonetheless, and still, if Ghislaine wants to do something that will at least repair some of the damage, then she should nonetheless come forward and do that deal and give those names and take what comes, because that would be a way at least of bringing this whole affair to an end. And at least from her point of view, whatever the immediate outcome for her, she can then at least come to some kind of personal reconciliation with her conscience. Now, that's all I'm going to say about that. But I mean, it's her decision at the end of the day. And as I said, I'm not advising her. So I'm just saying.
Yeah, but then you could also make the argument that Ghislaine knows that if she were to give up those names would never see the light of day either, because those are protected individuals. In other words, the DOJ would never move forward on most of those names anyway, because we've seen that these are people that are above the law. I mean, she's in such a tough spot. It's quite incredible to try and rationalize her way forward in this.
All entirely true. As I said again, I'm not giving her advice. I'm simply saying that sometimes confession is a solution for a troubled conscience. I mean, there's a long history of confession, and I think we both know what I mean. So confession is a solution to a troubled conscience, irrespective of what the personal consequences are.
But what about confession? What about confession?
I'm sure she doesn't.
What about confession? But understanding that if you give that confession, justice will still not be carried out to those people that you've confessed. I mean, what if you know that?
If I give up those names,
they're not. I'll give up those names. Fine. I'll strike a deal. Fine. I sign my my demise. Fine. But if I do all of that, I still know that these people are above the law. So.
All right. Let's put it in a slightly different way. She doesn't do that. She fights the case. She loses. She goes to prison for the rest of her life. Is she any safer in real terms? I mean, surely. The fact is, some of those people, assuming that they are as dangerous as we both think they are, they're going to say to themselves that so long as this person is still around, she poses a threat to us. So, I mean, is she really buying anything more than more stress for herself? Just saying. I don't know what's inside her mind. And as I said, I'm not advising her. I'm sure she's not watching our programme. But, you know, if anybody who knows her is and is able to communicate, well, those are my thoughts anyway.
Yeah, but maybe that explains the not guilty, doubling down guilty. Because there's no other way out
of this. I'm sure it does. And I think there's also another element in all of this, which is that I suspect that at some fundamental and deep level, she still can't quite bring herself to believe that this is for real. I think she still thinks that it will all turn out well for her in the end. That, you know, they'll find some kind of way when the case goes to trial to pull things together at the very end. I mean, that was very much her father's style. I mean, he was one who just went on, however bad the odds looked. Robert Maxwell always carried on, and it nearly always worked out for him, except until it didn't, when it all did eventually fall apart and he ended up dead. So maybe that's still her gamble. She still thinks that, you know, she's got all these important people, all these friends of hers. Maybe she still thinks at some deep level that in the end it will all come right. You know, people are like that. I mean, people come up with all these hopes and expectations. The facts on the ground look overwhelmingly negative, and yet they still hope. Maybe she's doing that. Maybe her hope has some foundation. To me, at the moment, it looks delusional. And I would have thought the attitude of the judge, which is unsympathetic, ought to be a cold shower on any hopes like that. But who knows?
Yeah. Anyway, maybe she's hoping they'll forget about her in prison. Maybe the elite. I doubt it. Or maybe she's hoping that one of these elite,
people,
spy agencies save her. I don't know. Anyway.
Just to say, people like that never forget. I mean, that's the reality. I mean, they never forget. And that's something that I think she needs to take into account. I mean, I still feel, as I said, that both for moral reasons and for legal reasons, and even for, you know, all reasons, a confession is the right way. But whether she'll take it, who knows? We'll see. I doubt it, actually. I don't think, my impression is that she's going to follow the course her father took, which is go on fighting right up until the end, and perhaps, like him, have everything fall apart and she ends up dead. That's what happened to him. Who knows? It may end up like that for her too. I hope not.
All right. Well, the winners at the end of the day are going to be the elite that were utilizing Epstein's services. because
well, it is quite so, because the point to notice here at the moment is that she's the only person who's charged. I've been hearing all kinds of other things, but there's no suggestion of any charges against anybody else. There's no suggestion of conspiracy charges, for example, which I had thought at one point there might be, but clearly that's not happening. Just saying.
All right. All right, guys, we'll put a link to the Durant shop, 10% off all merchandise down below. Take care.